Number 380.
Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59, 9 through 15. Isaiah chapter 59, 9 through 15. Therefore is justice far from us, neither does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but behold darkness; for brightness, but we walk in obscurity. We grope for the wall like the blind, yea, we grope as they that have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the twilight. Among them that are lusty, we are as dead men. We roar all like bears and moan sore like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Transgressing and denying Jehovah, and turning away from following our God. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and justice is turned away backward, and righteousness standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yea, truth is lacking, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And Jehovah saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice.
Good morning. Good to see you all once again. There are so many new faces that I have not seen yet. I hope you will stay for the potluck afterwards because I do want to meet you all. If you're a member here or even a visitor, we would love for you to stay, and it is so good to have you here, visitors as well. But I am now the minister here. This is literally my first day, and it's going to be such a pleasure meeting you all. It's going to be such a pleasure meeting the ones I haven't yet and getting to know all of you who I have. And I know that hard times have hit this congregation and specific families, and I want you to know that my heart is with you throughout this. And even though I'm a newcomer, so to say, I'm with you in this, and I want you to know as well that God is with you in this. And He has not left your side, no matter what has happened. And don't ever forget that Satan uses weak times against us. And what we're actually going to talk about today in Isaiah chapter 59 is something the prophet knows is the greatest danger in life. And we talked about the armor of God this morning, and we were defending something, against something, Satan, and then also sin. So the greatest danger in life, the greatest disease attack on us as Christians, is sin. So we have to be ready to fight this thing that is always coming against us and trying to take us down. How do we do it is the question. Well, we will get to that, but first let's talk about sin a little bit and how it works and what it does. When we sin, we might have pleasure, but how long does that pleasure last? Does this pleasure of sin last forever? No, it doesn't. The pleasure of sin is temporary. Evil and darkness is always something that's temporary. If you go to darkness for peace, you will find that it is not there. The only place that you can find peace in life, brethren and friends, is God. He's the only place that you can find peace, no matter what has happened in your life. Things happen to everyone, and some things worse than others and in many people's lives. It's different from person to person. But we have to remember that the apostles suffered. Jesus suffered. They all suffered such great lengths for Christ. And they went through so much. And they all lost their lives ultimately for the cause of Christ. But nonetheless, did that stop them in their walk? Did that stop them from walking in the Spirit as God is Spirit? No, it didn't. That made them ever stronger whenever they suffered. Whenever they were persecuted or whenever they lost something in life, that made them ever stronger to go as hard as they could for Christ, to constantly be fighting against Satan, against darkness, against evil, against sin. Those apostles, those prophets, think back to all the prophets, how much they suffered. Remember Elijah? How he was alone in that cave? How he was so upset because he was saying that, Lord, I'm the only one left. They've killed all my brethren, the prophets. Jezebel has killed all of them. What am I supposed to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And God took care of him. He took care of him. And then he told him, Elijah, I'm with you. And there's many others who are with you. You've got to get back up and you've got to keep doing the work. And every man and woman of God would come to know that in the Scriptures, who we have recorded, who were faithful to God. But God is always with us through this fight. And sin is our greatest enemy that we have in this life. As we mentioned this morning, we are in a spiritual warfare all of our lives. This life is temporary. It's temporary and it's as a vapor. That's why the writer of James says that. This is a temporary life, so we have to look to something greater in this life, don't we? We have to look to heaven, and then also, even if not that, we have to look ultimately to God. We have to look to God for peace. We have to look to God for comfort, because He's the only one who can offer that eternal peace, that ultimate peace and true happiness. Like I said earlier, if you think you can go to sin for that, brethren, you're wrong. Friends, you're wrong. Sin is not going to offer you full peace. It's only going to offer you something else, and it's not peace. It's the opposite. It's death. It will offer you death, spiritually, but even physically. It will offer you death, and nobody wants death. At least I don't. I don't think anyone in this room wants that. So sin is the most dangerous thing in our lives. Now, we look for light, but there is only darkness. Our brother read that a moment ago. We'll go ahead and read it again. Isaiah 59, verse 9. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. So we're looking for light. And what does this mean here? I want you to notice Isaiah is actually talking about sin specifically. He's teaching us specifically about the danger of sin. So we're looking for light in sin. We're looking for that pleasure. We're looking for that moment, that drink. If you think about maybe a drink of alcohol, how it offers you that moment, but then you wake up the next morning or you wake up a little while later, and then how do you feel? Well, you feel horrible and you regret. And then maybe it's something like fornication or it's any number of sins. There are so many sins. Any one of these things, it's temporary. Temporary pleasure. And then after that, it goes away. So where is the true peace found? Where is the true happiness found? If we're looking for light, it's not in darkness. If we're looking for light, where's it at? It's with God. Light is only found in God. True happiness is only found in God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Important little verse I want you to look at real quick. Hebrews 11, 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Look earlier in that passage. Who is it talking about? It's talking about Moses in that passage. Moses was a man who had great opportunity in his life to go the opposite way than he did. He could have been basically almost the Pharaoh of Egypt, which was, the ruler of a country, the ruler of a kingdom. There's no limits to what the ruler of a kingdom can do, really. Moses could have had that. But you know what he chose? Read it again. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You notice that word there? The passing pleasures of sin. That's how long sin lasts. You think about sin, it's also like a vapor. It's nothing. It lasts a few seconds, a few minutes, maybe a few hours. It's gone. And then you have to go back for more, don't you? You have to go back and back and back for more. That's not how it is with the peace of God. That's how it is with darkness and evil. You have to keep going back for that continual serving. And that's something that will never offer you true happiness in life. Make no mistake, Christians, and I will emphasize this again and again, sin is the greatest enemy in our lives. And it will take us down if we're not careful and if we are not ever watchful. Sin will use, or Satan will use every opportunity he can against us. If he sees us weak, Christians, he will take us down. He will use that opportunity to take us down unless we're strong. Unless, like we talked about this morning, we have on the armor of God. Unless we're mindful of the hope that we have. We're mindful of what's coming. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what people choose, we're mindful of what's coming for us. The relationship between man and God is personal. It's 100% personal, Christians, and I don't want you to forget that. God is 100% attentive to us and to our needs. Always. There's no time when God is closed. There's no time when that sign goes up. God is always, always with His children. Always. Doesn't matter what happens. What examples did we use at the beginning of this lesson? The apostles, even Jesus Himself, who was God, suffered endlessly. Think about Jesus. He came to this earth, and He was basically alone. He was basically alone in the work that He had to do and start up. And then eventually apostles would come and disciples of Him would come. But He had to start that all up on His own. But who was with Him? The Father, God. So who is with you, Christians who bear His name? The Father, God. God is with us no matter what happens in this life. No matter what sins try to attack us, we can overcome it. We can overcome it with our God who protects us and who gives us peace. And no matter how hard life gets, no matter how hard, because it gets hard, guys, no matter how hard, God is always going to be there with us. Always. So don't forget that. But we only find darkness in sin. There's no justice or salvation in it. Let's read through verses 10 and 11 now. Go back to our main text. Isaiah 59, 10 and 11. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Now read that passage again. Does that sound like something you want and you want to be doing with your life? Groping for the wall like the blind, groping as if you had no eyes. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what to do. You're growling like a bear. You're moaning sadly like a dove. Those are horrible things. That's sad. You know what that comes from? What's this passage talking about? It comes from sin. It comes from evil, from darkness. Again, does peace come from darkness, from evil? No. Evil does not offer peace. It doesn't. It offers you that temporary pleasure. And then, after that, continual serving, right? Continual serving. So the peace is found in God. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what suffering we go through, the peace is found in our God. So we have to always remember that, Christians. There's no justice, there's no salvation in sin. What we're looking forward to, Christians, is after this life. We're not looking only to the things of this life. We are looking in our personal relationship with God. We're looking to the things after this life. What's to come? What's for us? Why are we even walking in the Spirit? What's the point of that? What's the point in walking like Christ? It's because of what's to come. It's because of what God has promised us, the peace God has promised us, the love that He gives to us. That's why, because He created us as well. So, evil doesn't offer you that peace. It doesn't offer you what you really want. Jeremiah 14:7, that prophet also says that sin testifies against us. There's another reference for you. Jude chapter 1 and verse 7. I want you to think about Sodom and Gomorrah for a second. Let's go ahead and turn to Jude. Jude chapter 1 and verse 7. The scriptures indicate to us that Sodom and Gomorrah was a terrible, terrible city as far as wickedness. Because those two angels that were going to Lot that day or that night, they even were, the people of that city came up to the door of where they went in, to Lot's house. And they were wanting to even be carnal with them. I mean, they were sick people. And I won't go into what that means, but because of the ears here, but it's a sick, sick place. It's homosexuality. It's disgusting things that those people were wanting to do. So, do you think that those temporary pleasures really offered Sodom and Gomorrah true peace? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? What did God do to them? He destroyed them. Now, Lot and those two angels or whatever, they had to bear the persecution of those people knocking on the door and screaming at them and saying, come out so we can be carnal with them. They had to bear that persecution and that suffering as Lot was tormented daily, as the scriptures say, by those types of people in that city. Well, what came after that? The judgment of God, the deliverance of God. And it came to the children of God. No matter what suffering they went through, no matter what persecutions they went through, Lot went through, and those two angels that were there that day, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that account. No matter what suffering, God did deliver them in the end. He did. And why is that example written down, Christians? Why do you think that's written down for us? Why do you think we still know that today? So that we know that God will also deliver us. That's why the Scriptures have so many examples. That's why the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 lists all of those people who lived by faith looking to what was ahead, not to what was on the earth. Those people were living in tents because they knew that their home was in heaven. Imagine living in a tent your whole life because you're so committed to heaven. How do we think, Christians? Are we so stuck on the physical things of this life that we forget about God? We forget that God is really there for us? That He's going to give us what we need in the end? He's going to deliver us in the end like He did every other man and woman of Him? Whoever was faithful to Him? Yeah, He will. He will, as He's always been doing. We will go up there and meet Moses if we're faithful. We will go up there and meet Abraham. We will go up there and meet Adam, who became a life-giving spirit, as the Scriptures say. We will go up and meet all those people. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the Father. We'll meet them all. Even angels, holy angels. Are you looking forward to that? I know I am. I am. I'm not looking forward to a life that is only full of sin and passing pleasures where I'm just constantly trying to find the next thing that will satisfy me. And then in the end, I'm not really looking forward to anything because nothing's coming. That's a sad life. That's a sad reality to live in. Christians, you got to keep your mind set on what is coming after this life and your mind set on walking in spirit. God fulfilled every promise that He gave in the Scriptures. Every one of them. Every single one of them. So is He going to fulfill the promise to Christians who faithfully follow Him? Yeah. Yeah, He will. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. There's no salvation in sin, brethren. Our sins destroy us. Now let's go ahead and take a look at a few more concepts as far as sin goes. Now talking about how it destroys us. Isaiah 59:12-14. Read that with me there. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, verse 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. None of that sounded good. None at all. You notice how in this passage nothing sounds good? The prophet Isaiah is really trying to emphasize something to us here, Christians, that sin is bad in every way, shape, and form. You will not find peace with it. You will not find peace in the ways of sin, in the ways of evil. So what's it talking about specifically in what we just read? It's talking about how our sins destroy us. They testify against us, transgressing and lying, and the truth is in the street. I mean, the truth is gone. It causes problems in our families. It causes physical consequences. It causes all of these great strifes in life. Sin may have that passing pleasure, but it brings great strife, doesn't it? Eventually, at some point, it always does. Every time. Romans 6:23, that ultimate wage of sin is death. That's the ultimate paycheck for sin. I always like to put it like that. You think about a job. Think about working a job your whole life. What's the paycheck you get all the time? Well, think about working the job of sin your whole life. What's the paycheck you get? Death. Why would I want to work that job? That doesn't sound right. I don't want to work a job that gives me death. So what kind of job do I want to work? A job that gives me life, right? A job that gives me salvation. Well, sin's not going to give you that. It's going to give you the opposite. Committing sin actually wears down our bodies quicker, and let me tell you why. God created our bodies, friends and Christians, He created our bodies here on this earth to live in the way that are His laws. He created our bodies specifically to live by His laws in this universe He made. And what happens when we go against that? Think about things like STDs. Think about how people go against the law of God, what drugs do to people. Think about what alcohol does to people. All these different sins, lying, what does it do? You see how life is literally formed around us living for God? You seeing that now? And if we don't, what happens to our bodies? What happens to our family relationships? They wear down. Remember all the kings of Israel and Judah? How many of them were wicked? Which ones reigned longer? Which ones were kings longer? The wicked ones or the righteous ones? I think we all know the answer to that. The righteous ones were the ones. The wicked ones often would reign only about a month, sometimes a day, sometimes a few years, and then they would die. They would die because of some sin that they committed, or they'd lose their kingship. One of their sons would kill them. All this lying and slaughtering and horrible things going on. Yeah, that's what comes from sin. That doesn't sound like peace, does it? So where's the peace again? It's in God, isn't it? It's not with evil. It's not with Satan. Satan wants to destroy you, Revelation 12:12. It's with God. God is the only one who can bring you that peace. So we talked about physical consequences. What about spiritual consequences? We ought to fear the one who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. That is God, not the man who persecutes us and makes us suffer in this life. We're going to go through suffering all the time, Christians. This life is full of it. It's full of suffering. After the sin in the Garden of Eden, suffering came. And it's our fault that it even happened. It's humanity's fault. But we can get past it. We can overcome it. And you know why? Because Jesus came and He overcame it. And all we have to do is follow in His footsteps. Walk like He did. And we can go join Him in heaven someday. You know that? We as Christians have a hope that is unlike anything else. But spiritual consequences of sin will come if we choose sin. Romans 8:13. I'd like you to turn there real quick. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And also, of course, daughters of God would go with that. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Or are you led by the lust of the flesh? Remember Galatians 5? Fruits of the Spirit? Which one are you led by, Christians? Friends, are you led by sin or are you led by God? We talked about how sin destroys you in every way, shape, and form. You're not going to find peace with it. You're going to find temporary pleasure. Sure, it's nice. If sin wasn't nice, you think people would do it? No. So is it nice? Yeah. It's nice. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. God's peace is what lasts. The peace that surpasses understanding. It lasts. You get past that sin and you just don't even want to do it anymore. I mean, you don't even care about that anymore. It's peace that surpasses understanding, brethren. And where does it start? I might remind you, as we were talking about this morning, it all starts with going back to the Scriptures. It all starts with going back to the Word of God, the thing that God gave us, to give us all these examples of the faithful accounts, to give us His law. To give us all these people who went through the same kind of sufferings that we do. And nonetheless, they got through it. They got through their suffering. They got through the horrible situations they were in. And they made it to heaven. They made it. Made it. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus was the poor guy. The rich man was oppressing him. And where's Lazarus? Literally revealed to us in the Scriptures, Luke 16, where's Lazarus? He's in paradise. He's in paradise. That's what's awaiting us, Christians. No matter what the rich man does to us, no matter what suffering in life happens, no matter what we go through or what we lose, God will always deliver His faithful. That's what we have to look forward to. People are going to make their choices. They're going to do what they're going to do. A lot of times we don't have control of it. But God is going to deliver us in the end. And that's what we have to take peace in. We've got to take peace in God. You getting the point, Christians? Take peace in God. He offers it all the time, and He will forever. Now, what if we run away from sin? Just as a last thing before we end here. What if we run away from sin that's infecting us? Maybe we destroy it completely. We get it out of our lives. We put the drink down. Put the drugs down. Put the, maybe it's pornography down. We put it down. You think it can ever happen again? Yeah. When you put it down, and if you read verse 15, I'll go ahead and read it for you. Verse 15, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. We are prey when we leave evil. Remember Satan roaring about like a, or prowling about like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8? We're prey when we leave evil. So the fight doesn't end. The fight continues, and the armor of God has to stay on. And the weapon of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, the Scriptures, has to be always with you. Otherwise, you will lose. And Satan will seize that opportunity to take you down whenever it comes. We always have to be watchful Christians. But if we start following God in His way, we have heaven, we have the peace of God. John 14, 1 through 4, I encourage you to go read that later. What is that talking about? It's talking about mansions. Mansions that are often offered for Christians. Mansions that are made for Christians. Do you have a mansion in heaven right now? What did Jesus promise there? Do we have mansions in heaven, Christians? Yes. Everyone should be nodding their heads. We all have mansions in heaven. Yeah. They're waiting for us. No matter what happens in this life. Why do I keep emphasizing that? No matter what happens in this life. Because the apostles got that. The prophets got that. Jesus got that. No matter what happens, no matter what people do to us, no matter what choices people make, God will deliver us. He will deliver us. And He will save us. He will help us in our times of need. Remember that. Let it resound in your mind every day of your life. God is with us, Christians. Don't forget it. And He will give us that mansion in the end. Matthew 5:12 is another verse as far as enduring persecution. Another good reference for you to go to. Philippians 4:7, when you love and follow God and His commandments, you will have that indescribable peace. That's talking about the peace that surpasses understanding. That's the peace of God. That's what we have, Christians, in God. So is sin worth it, friends? Absolutely not. Sin is not worth it in any way. It's not. What is worth it? To walk in the Spirit. To live a life for God. Holy, acceptable, and pleasing to God no matter what happens in life. To live a life for God even though man may crucify you on a cross. Even though man may nail your hands into a cross and crucify you. No matter, even if that happens. What it's about is following God and getting to heaven in the end. That's what it's about. Sin is not worth it. Evil does not offer peace. God does. Keep your mind always on that reality and on that fact. God is the one who offers the peace. Christians, if you have any needs this morning, I do offer the invitation now. If you have any needs, physical, mental, or spiritual, if you need to come up to the front, and we will pray with you. It's not a shame to come to the front. It's something that we are always doing together as Christians as far as getting to heaven. We're all on that same pathway. We all go through hardships in life. We all go through sins in life. We all have committed sin. All of us, except the little ones. We have got to help each other. We've got to help each other, Christians. And if we don't, we're going to fall. So we've got to help each other. And that's why we as brethren are here for each other. That's why God gave us our brethren. So we can help each other through these really hard times. That's why we're here, Christian. That's why we're all sitting in the same place. So we can help each other. So we can look around and be encouraged and remember all that God has told us and all that God is giving to us and what He will give us in the end. If you're not a Christian, as we'll extend that invitation to you, you have to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of all sin, all that evil, the darkness. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God before men. And then be baptized into the water that is immersed fully into the water and then rise anew. After that, you will be added to the kingdom of God, that is the church. You will be added to the church, and you must remain faithful until the end after that. And all sins will be washed away from you after that baptism takes place. All sins will be washed away. But then remain faithful. If you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.